Okay, so welcome back to Senses of the Soul. So where we have been so far is in terms of the little symbol of the triangle with the circle and the cross. This is kind of like the symbology of the work that we're doing this year. So within that symbol, basically last time we completed the circle. So the circle being like the form or the container for the soul, yeah? Anything that has a consciousness needs a container, because otherwise how can it be something? And so from the soul experiences, we've been exploring how, you know, as we align them to the elements, we understand that containers, you know, are built out of the elements, particularly if they have form, and that the form of our soul, we've looked at it through, you know, sense of desire, being like the fire element, sense of dream, like the water element, sense of memory, being like the air element, and the last time, sense of exchange, which was the earth element. And we begin with sense of divine, which is the ether element that pulls them all together, because then they all meet in the aspect of the ether, which is the all of them feed to our sense of divine, so that this is the conduit between us as divine here, having our experience as part of the divine, so that the greater divine learns through our experience here in the world of matter. Now, we at the very beginning explored, you know, what is the triangle? The triangle is referred to as the border senses. So the triangle as a symbol in esoteric form is always associated with consciousness. So it's, in this case, it's like the consciousness of the soul. Yeah. So there's a soul that is the form, but then there is the consciousness. So this is like the perceptual filter that the form experiences itself through. A way of getting your head around this is by looking, knowing that this is a two-way kind of stream between our embodiment here in the world of matter and the divine in its total aspect of oneness. Yeah. Here we're experiencing the world of matter through our five senses, through what we can see, touch, taste, hear, and smell. And these experiences help us appreciate the world of matter that we're in, and we learn through these experiences. We pass them through our border senses to make sense of them, in fact, in order to create consciousness about them. And from that realm, from taking in the physicality through the physical senses, the border senses are things like the mind, the emotions, and the feelings, so the instinctual type feeling. And that through the vector of those three, they like filter our experiences and then help us make meaning of it, yeah? By how we feel it, how we know it, and how we intuit it. Yeah? These things are like border senses in passing through that gateway to make consciousness of our experience. Now, coming from the divine to have its experience in the real, or in this world of form, is this sense of the soul also has a consciousness frame which guides its incarnation. Yeah. So these border senses of the soul, again, fit with a consciousness frame, and truly, you know, most consciousness frames have within them the characteristics of love, wisdom, and power, because this is really the Trinity set that helps describe consciousness, yeah, as a particular frame. Why do we have them for the soul? What they do is this frame helps to govern and filter the incarnation of that soul energy within the density it's chosen to appear into, so that it can have an experience in that place. Because as you can imagine, our soul is such a collective energy that it spans not just this dimension. So, you know, we will have heard of, like, you know, souls that are of fifth or sixth dimension returning to have an experience again in the third dimension to bring aspects of what they have to share back into, and, you know, there's this cycling of soul. So it's like, well, how does a soul move from sixth dimension to have an incarnation in third dimension? Because, you know, our understanding is that sixth density or sixth dimension, that is much more there's a lot less, in fact, you know, as far as I know, there's no matter in that kind of realm. It is just consciousness within sixth density form. So how does a soul that's been having experience in a field where there is no matter be able to have an experience in a field where it's quite dense? What helps it is the border sense, because the border sense provides the perceptual frame to allow the soul energy to be able to incarnate into that density. Yeah, so I'm trying to explain a very nebulous concept in some in a way that I hope you will understand. So for example, so what we're going to look at today is one of those Trinity points and how that affects, how that influences us in order to have our experience. Why this, I think, is quite an interesting thing to look at and kind of get us a feeling for is we are on a planet that is currently spanning two densities, because on this planet currently it is both spanning third density and fourth density concurrently. Yeah, this has an interesting effect on our border sense, because the border sense of the soul for this incarnation has aspects within it that will be helping us transition 3D to 4D, yeah? And that's part of why we're looking at this work, yeah? To understand, today the part we're going to look at is in the trinity of love, wisdom and power, we're going to look at wisdom, yeah? Another way of looking at this same trinity is looking at what they call memory, will and energy. It's kind of, they describe the same things, they're just different ways of looking at them. I haven't used either of those words. The words that I've brought to describe it, mostly, you know, these are just my own words I've brought to it to help describe the perception that we're wanting to actually look into this window on, to try and narrow in a view that's useful, yeah? So I've called this particular point of the border evolution, because to me it describes the action of this particular border sense. Because of course you've got to imagine that when we're talking about these border senses, we're talking about them from the elevation of soul consciousness, not our embodied consciousness, yeah, even though it affects it. All right, so in looking at this aspect of evolution or wisdom, what is it doing? So it's like why this also is kind of tied up with this aspect of memory and wisdom and evolution is that the consciousness of your soul in incarnating provides a guidance for your growth, for the growth of your soul. So it's in order to provide guidance for your what you've come to experience and do here, then it has to in itself have its own wisdom. Yeah, it has to have a knowing. It has to be, in essence, it has the knowledge of the complete journey from, you know, the first density through to the highest density. You know, we, depending on which esoteric tradition you're following, you know, they talk about it's either, you know, 1 to 9, some of them go from 1 to 21. It really doesn't matter, because in those higher levels, we don't know until we get there anyway. But certainly there's a lot more known about the densities of like 1 to 6, because there's a lot more interchange between those and here. And so much more is, you know, spoken of and written of through those perspectives. But out of that, there is absolutely a sense that the soul is assisting you to evolve. Your soul is there to prompt you on a path of growth. It's there to prompt you in the direction of your evolution. It can prompt you in the direction of your evolution because it already knows what is your evolution. Yeah? It knows where you're going or where you should be going. It doesn't mean that we are, you know, always, it brings you the prompt, whether you listen to it or not, act upon it or not, is totally still up to your free will. You can receive the prompt and totally ignore it and go, actually, I'm doing this, thank you, because that's what I, you know, is for me. And that's fine. It's not like there's no time for a soul. It's just what do you want to do? So the wisdom of the soul holds this, and that's why it holds this aspect of memory, but it's not the memory of you or even of your soul incarnation. It's the memory of the lineage of the pathway of evolution. So it holds this wisdom of how do we move back to source? Yeah, because that's built in to this pathway of growth that is our eternal part. How we receive it is that, you know, what it provides for us, this soul wisdom, is that we receive it mostly as a felt sense rather than a known sense. So it's not like it's not a knowledge wisdom as such. We very much connect to it, like most of the soul work, through our emotion, through our feeling. It's a felt truth. And it's like an inner guidance system that when you feel it and you're in the presence of it, there's just a knowing. And part of that knowing, it brings a feeling of remembering. It's like you receive something and you go, oh, wow, you know, I don't care if it doesn't add up and it sounds really odd to my head, but I feel it and something goes, go this way. It feels right. You know, and that rightness of feeling is associated with this border sense because it brings a wisdom to you that guides you in a direction and you can feel it because it feels like inner truth. It feels like inner guidance, and it can feel like, I feel as if I'm remembering how to do something or remembering how to be something, even though I've never done this or been it. It's just like, yes, this is right for me. This is how I need to go forward. And so we access this border sense through the same access that we do for any of the soul senses, and we receive it through basically being in heart coherence, because when we can come into a heart coherent state, then we are much more connected through our feeling life to all things. That this is the access that allows much more of the soul guidance to actually be heard, felt, and embodied as well. And the more that we come into that harmonic, then the more we get used to allowing it to guide our step forward. You know, in sense, you know, we can feel when we have more of this because we become much more aware of the synchronic movement of our life, because it's like something's working through us to guide us, and we're stepping with it. And it's not like we have no choice. We always have choice. And at any moment, you can choose to go with it or not. But we know the sense when we're aligned with it and when we're not, you know, when we're in the flow and when we're in not. And because it brings a sense of movement and growth in a direction that is, again, we know it. We can feel if it is growing us or not. And, you know, this was interesting. The guy that wrote Alice in Wonderland, Lewis Carroll, he was an Oxford Don. And one of his studies was, he was an atheist. And one of his studies that he did was, you know, is there God? Is there a God, really? And I forget the name of his book, but anyway, easy to find. But the premise of it that he'd got to is that he came to the fact that everybody has a sense of what is right and what is good, in not in a judgment term, but in a way that grows them. Everyone has a feeling for what is an action that puts them in a way of growth, as much as they get a feeling for an action that actually diminishes them in some way. And that this is an inborn sense, no matter their social conditioning or cultural conditioning, everybody has. And he did lots of different studies of different socioeconomic, you know, groups and different things. And out of all of that, he came to the sense that there is some divine aspect to all beings that makes them want to move in the direction of their evolution. And in essence, I feel it's this same sense. It's this broader sense of consciousness of your soul. And this is the wisdom vector of that holds the, because, you know, wisdom is not just knowledge. Wisdom is a lived knowing. It's something that you embody and live through your life. It's not just something that I know in my head. You know, that would be like the difference between knowledge and wisdom. And so this is soul wisdom that guides you in the direction of your evolution, in order that your soul grows. Now, what's really interesting in this in where we are now is that one of the effects of this wisdom, of this knowing of self, and guidance of self, as it moves through from third density into fourth density, is as things are moving up through densities, like from the first density where it is just, it is the one, to the second density where it's experiencing the polarity, and in this movement, consciousness begins and is very much acting like effect and response. And, you know, a lot of the plant and animal life begins in second density because they respond to their environment. You know, it'd be a very instinctual existence. And then we move into third density, where now we have the ability, that third point is we get to know ourselves in our experience of the polarity. So yes, we're in the polarity, but that polarity brings us to self-awareness. Yeah. So now we are in the self, and we see ourself, and we go, oh, this is me within this construct. Yeah. And we get a sense of the self. And in this development of the self, you know, we develop our identity and our ego and the ability to see ourselves and to then, you know, have experiences of, you know, regret and worry and, you know, all of the things that we have because we are able to reflect on the experience, have memory of the experience, be planning about our experience, you know, because this is all symptoms of our self-awareness, of seeing ourself within the construct. Yeah. So this is our third density experience. Where it moves into fourth density experience is that from that sense of, oh, I am a me within this, we move to, oh, I am a we within all of this. So we start to move to unity mm-hmm. consciousness, because unity consciousness is the aspect of how fourth density works. And this is why we are in a time where we're having a lot of movement and urge to grow ourselves in group consciousness, unity consciousness, to work as fields and actually go, oh my goodness, you know, we are so much more, and I'm in interchange with everything. And I suddenly, it's not just me, because it's me and the tree, and it's me and the earth, and it's me, you know, we start to, bit like the last one where we looked at sense of exchange, we heighten our sense of exchange to a point where we start to unify with the world around us. And this is the shift into fourth density. And so in some aspects of esoterics, you know, they talk about it as the shift between service to self and service to others. And that term can actually be a bit, when we try to apply it to, you know, just our everyday existence, we're going, but, you know, if I don't serve myself, then, you know, I'm just going to, you know, do I just totally don't do anything for me and only do it for others? I'm here to say this is not what that means. It's something quite different. The way to kind of understand it is to do with the interchange of energy. If you can imagine, if you only served your own needs, and so you, therefore you were totally self-serving, it's actually very difficult to be totally self-serving because we are so in interchange with everything. But it was interesting, I was listening to some readings of, it's called Ra, Law of One, and it, again, it's a channeled series from that, and they were talking about that it's very, very difficult to be totally service to self. You have to be really a total psychopath to where you don't care about anything. And the person said, oh, can you give us an example? And he said, well, Genghis Khan was someone who was able to evolve from this planet on the pathway of service to self because he totally had no compassion or care or connection to anything and anyone. And this is why he was able to completely, you know, rape and pillage and murder his way through domination of a very big area through the path of destruction. And that this was an aspect because it was all about him and there was nothing to about the care of others. But service to others is where I see myself as part of this collective. Now, in that service to others, serving myself as part of my service to others becomes important because how I am is actually part of my commitment to all of you. Because as I serve myself to ensure I am the best me available in order to interact with your best you so that we can actually work together in a unity consciousness state, that's a totally different thing. Yeah. So service to others is not about, you know, just, you know, giving your life away to other people. In fact, you know, that in truth is actually an imbalance. And, you know, we've in past circles, you know, we've talked about things like overcare and how, you know, it really arises not from a point of sovereignty, but a point from hoping to actually get food from others and by over caring for their needs in order to feed yourself. You know, it can, it's actually often not something that comes from the point of sovereignty. Whereas service to others is much more like flower of life. It's where each one is sovereign and therefore able to interlock and make some a construct that is bigger in its consciousness by being able to interact with all the fields of consciousness to create something bigger, something more complex, like a bigger group field of consciousness. And so the border sense at the moment, you know, the border sense that we have incarnated with is a border sense that holds within it the wisdom to push us or to enable us to transition between these densities. Because this is the perceptual filter that it's holding, and it must, because this is the earth that we're upon, and this is the situation that we're in. So how can this be useful, you know, other than just a, you know, an interesting kind of wander into the nether regions of consciousness? It is that in the time that we find ourselves in, and particularly the time right now where we are, you know, we're experiencing shifting dynamics of timelines that have, you know, shifted us up further into what really is the fourth density of consciousness, much stronger now, that it encourages us to seek more times of connection with our soul in order to strengthen the guidance system that is helping us grow in this direction. Because your inner compass for what is right for you to develop the characteristics that you have, because every soul structure has a particular element which is its aspect of the part of the divine having the experience. So the bit that helps you develop the bit of you that has come as a soul to experience itself here can best be guided by listening to the small voice within, by listening to the soul whisper, which is heard through when we are quieter, when we are connected, when we are heart coherent, when we are, in the speed and rhythm of the earth, when we're in this state. This is the perfect gateway in which to receive this information. And so, typically, whether we're in meditation or, you can reach this in all kinds of different ways. You can reach this sitting at the beach looking at the ocean, because it'll bring you into that beautiful state, or in the forest, or doing your yoga, or, there's many ways to achieve this state. You can do it with breath, it's all these many mechanisms. I think the essence of understanding this aspect of the border sense is simply that this is a very good time to open yourself to this inner guidance system, knowing that it's there and it's wired for this shift of evolution. And that's what it's part of what's driving us and giving us the tools and awakening the knowing to take us in that direction. Any thoughts? Did I lose you or did you get it?